For the past several weeks, we've been considering the New Testament book, the letter to the Thessalonians. It's a letter that we believe was the first written chronologically of the New Testament books. It was the earliest evidence of this Christian faith. And so in it, we read some items that should give us some indications, some clues as to life in the early church. Here's a letter that was written about 20 years after the death of Jesus. And so this relatively new movement was filled with relatively new communities of faith. And so we've already discussed that the Thessalonian church was a young church. It was a young church full of brand new Christians. And the Apostle Paul, on his second missionary journey, traveled to this European city of Thessaloniki, about 200 miles north of Athens, and established his church. But there were some folks there that gave him some trouble and ran him out of town. And so he had to leave in haste. And he was kind of worried because this new church, you know, what was going to happen with this new church? Were they going to undergo the same type of persecution and trouble that he underwent? And so he writes a letter expressing his care and his concern for this young church. And what we see from the letter is that Paul received actually a pretty favorable report in terms of this Thessalonian church community. Their reputation had spread all over that region, and people knew about this church. They were fired up about their relationship with God, and they were doing great things for the kingdom. And so I encourage you to sit down and read this letter in its entirety. And we are, over the course of several weeks, just looking at small portions of this letter. Today, I want to focus on Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse number 13, and I'd just like to share with you just a short reflection on 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse number 13. It says, "We also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as human word, but as what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you believers. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, for you suffered the same things from your own compatriots as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. They displease God and oppose everyone by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. Thus, they have constantly been filling up the measure of their sins, but God's wrath has overtaken them at last. As for us, brothers and sisters, when for a short time we were made orphans by being separated from you, in person, not in heart, we long with great eagerness to see you face to face. For we wanted to come to you, certainly. I, Paul, wanted to again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? Yes, you are our glory and joy." You particularly get a picture of God, or of Paul's heart for this church in those closing words, where he just longs to be with them. He feels orphaned. He feels this emptiness and this ache, and he wants to see them face to face. At the heart of this current sermon series is a discussion about caring. I'm reminded of the children's book. At least it was a popular book when I was in kindergarten, first grade. Pierre, A Cautionary Tale in Five Chapters and a prologue. Anyone remember this book? I feel like a lot of people haven't heard of this book, but this is a very popular book when I was growing up. It's about a little boy who always responded to everything with, "I don't care. I don't care." Mother would say, "Good morning, darling boy. You are my only joy." And Pierre would respond with, "I don't care." One day, Pierre was upside down on his head, and his father said, "Get off your head or I will march you up to bed." And Pierre said, "I don't care." Here's a portion of the story. This is from chapter 3. It says, "Now as the night began to fall, a hungry lion paid a call. He looked Pierre right in the eye and asked him if he'd like to die." It's a children's book, but it's pretty violent. Pierre said, "I don't care. I can eat you, don't you see? I don't care. And you will be inside of me. I don't care. Then you will never have to bother. I don't care. With a mother and a father. I don't care. Is that all you have to say? I don't care. Then I'll eat you if I may. I don't care." So the lion ate Pierre. Again, as far as children's books go, pretty violent. Now, I don't want to spoil the whole story for you. You can go look at it, go find it and read it. But here's the ending of the story. The lion said, "If you would care to climb on me, I'll take you there." Then everyone looked at Pierre, who shouted, "Yes, indeed, I care." The lion took them home to rest and stayed on as a weekend guest. The moral of Pierre is care. The moral of Pierre is care. It might be said that the moral of the Thessalonian letter, or this idea that just continues to emerge as we read, is this idea of care. That we care about God, that we care about church, that we care about one another, that we care about the lives of others, that we care about the last, the lost, the least, and the left out, and the lonely. If you care, you're interested. If you're interested, you'll inquire. If you inquire, you get info, and with that info, you will act. And so care. One of the issues that's plaguing the church right now is that churches coming out of the pandemic are finding themselves in this lull. They're finding themselves this right before the pandemic. All the research was saying that churches were declining in membership and in influence, and the pandemic has sort of exacerbated that. And what I think is the at the heart of churches reclaiming its place and its role, its influence. What I believe is at the heart of church growth is caring. Church members have to care about church. We have to care about the mission of God. We have to care about what God is doing in this community, and we need to get involved through care. So the moral of the story is care. And Paul, he cared so much that he wrote this letter to this young church to encourage them and motivate them to not only return that care to him, Paul, but to spread that care throughout their community. And amazingly, prior to Paul's correspondence, Paul received word that the Thessalonian Christians had shared the message of God and their lives with their community and communities all over the region. Sharing is caring. And I believe this is a message that should resonate with us in 2021. Sharing the gospel and sharing our lives is paramount to the mission of God. And we continue this morning to read this letter and build bridges of understanding and application to our current context in 2021. I just read another piece of this letter where Paul continues to express his heart and love for the Thessalonian church. And Paul's heart for the Thessalonians is demonstrated in his constant prayer for them. We also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it, not as a human word, but as what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you. There is something really fascinating here. Paul gives props to the Thessalonians for their reception of God's word. What the Thessalonians received from Paul and his companions was not some made-up human word or human creed or human fantasy. It was God's word. And this word is not sitting dormant. It's active and operating in the lives of the Thessalonians. And throughout this letter, Paul commends these young Christians for receiving the word of God and practicing in their daily lives what thus says the Lord. Yet, we're still maybe bombarded with the question, like, what is the word of God? Are we simply referring to the Bible? Is the revelation of God's word? It's revealed through narratives, through stories, through commandments. What we have in terms of God's word is much bigger than letters on a page. It's more than just a book. Now, this book is an important piece of our story, and it contains narratives of God's word. The Bible contains in written form commands and calls to humans to have their lives shaped by the Almighty God. What we see here in the lives of the Thessalonians are lives that Paul says have accepted God's word and live that lives that are determined to live in faithful response to God's word. Now, as a fellowship, this is what churches of Christ have been known for. If you've been a member of the Church of Christ for many, many years, you know that we are known for our robust and our readied response to God's word as contained in our Bibles. We want to do what God says, and so we study our Bibles. I don't know about you, but you ever watching Jeopardy? And they have a category, the Bible. And how many of y'all, when you see the questions, you're like, man, these questions are so easy. That's just because Churches of Christ, we like know our Bibles. That's like part of our story. And so if they ever had like an all Bible Jeopardy, like many of us in here would probably like break records, because this is part of who we are in Churches of Christ. We have just placed a high priority on reading our Bibles, studying our Bibles, and knowing our Bibles. That is part of our DNA. Yet even in our own fellowship, our neglect of having our lives shaped by God's word and scripture is evident. For years, we have been able to talk the talk, but struggle to walk the walk. What would life look like if, as a church community, we were wholly committed to embracing God's word in our lives? Not just the parts that we like, but all of it. What would life look like if our church community, if we were wholly committed to embracing God's word? What if the word of God stood paramount in all of our lives? What if we didn't take for granted that in our possession we have in written form the revelation of God's word? And because we have it in our possession, we can read it whenever we want. We can study it whenever we want. We can engage it whenever we want. We can experience it in community whenever we want. One theologian wrote this. He wrote, quote, "We read scripture in order to be refreshed in our memory and understanding of the story within which we ourselves are actors, to be reminded where it has come from and where it is going to, and hence what our own part within it ought to be. engage the word of God in scripture enables us to participate in this grand story being written by God, wherein we are primary actors. When God's word is activated in our lives, we are transformed, and thus we are dispatched to be part of God's transformation of this world. Like the Thessalonians, an embrace of God's word will have a ripple effect on the world. It's why Paul was able to comment about them saying this in verse number 14 of chapter 2. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. Becoming imitators is the function of allowing God's word to penetrate your heart, your condition, and your mood, your attitude, your moment, and your season. Becoming imitators is that which happens when God's word takes root in your life and is nurtured and fed. God's word grows in our lives, and as a result, we will never be the same. The same word of God that spoke the earth and heavens into being is the same word that can speak miracles into our lives. It can prompt change in our lives. It can address hurts in our lives. It can reveal flaws in our lives, and it can prompt repairs for our lives. God's word can illuminate pathways that you didn't know were available. I love the way the psalmist writes in Psalm 119, that entire chapter of Psalm 119, but Psalm 119, 105, he says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Do you see how God's words can illuminate things and show us things that we didn't even know were available? He continues that the unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. This short episode in the correspondence between Paul and Thessalonians, I think, is just another quick reminder and encouragement that we, as disciples of Christ, followers of Christ, of Jesus, Christians, that we ought to engage in God and in his word through scripture. If you don't already have a regular daily practice of prayer and reading scripture so that God's word can be activated in your life, I think this is a simple reminder in this correspondence that you ought to do so. Do so such that we can be known by receiving of God's word, such that it activates us to do some things in this world. I continue to urge and encourage us all to implement a regular time for personal prayer and scripture reading and study. We are inundated with, I think, so many tools and opportunities to do that. Brother Bill Schindel, we have a Facebook page, and every day Brother Schindel posts a reading for our consideration. It's a simple way. If you're connected to the Facebook page, you'll get this reminder. I get it every time he posts something. It says Bill Schindel posted something on our church page, and it will prompt you to go and consider, read the little short devotional there and read the passage. Just take a few minutes of your time. If that's not your cup of tea, you're not on Facebook, if you have a smartphone, just go download an app where every day in the morning you will have the verse of the day that will show up on your phone. If you're tired of electronics and you want to detach from electronics, just pick up a Bible in the morning as you're drinking your coffee or preparing, and just read a few verses and allow God's word through scripture to penetrate your heart. Make that a regular time. Make that something that is just so important that nothing can encroach upon that. I also encourage you to make it a priority to engage with Scripture with your family, engage with Scripture in community. We have connect groups. We have a men's group that meets on Saturdays. We have a ladies group that meets on Wednesdays and Thursdays. We have another small group that meets on, or connect group that meets on Sunday nights. And we have a Bible study that meets at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings online. There are so many opportunities for us to engage and embrace God's word through Scripture in community. And I would encourage us all to make that a priority in our lives. Research says that there are a lot of young people who are not all that interested in going to church, particularly young adults. The research also says that when young adults go to church, one of the things that they are aching for is they want a message from the Bible. And they're not getting messages from the Bible. They're getting politics. They're getting New Age psychology. And they're not getting that. So they end up walking out. I think it's part of our DNA and part of our story that we make Scripture, Bible study, Bible engagement, something that is just a part of us. And not just in terms of programming as a church, but in terms of a personal choice. Everyone here ought to have an engagement with Scripture. A key indicator of true growth in Christian communities is its embrace and embody of the Word of God. So, with that, I'd like to offer these blessings, these statements of hope, of inspiration and aspiration. May the Word of God speak life into all of us. May the Word of God activate us into an abundant life. May the Word of God be received by all of us. May the Word of God propel us into a mission of love and care. May the Word of God shape this community into a community of God's offspring. May blessings follow those who hear the Word of God. May blessings follow those who listen to the Word of God. May blessings follow those who embody the Word of God. May blessings follow those who live according to the Word of God. May blessings follow those who teach and preach the Word of God. May blessings follow the church whose law is the Word of God. May blessings follow the family who lives by the Word of God. In just a moment, the praise team will join the stage and we'll sing a song called Ancient Words. I would love for this song to not only serve as an invitation, but also as a meditation of this gift that we have. Like the fact that we all can have a personal copy of the Bible is a blessing. The Thessalonian Christians, as much as they flourished in being disciples of Jesus Christ, they did not have this. We have it. We have it. And a lot of times we just don't use it. We just don't get into it. We don't read it. We say we believe it, but we don't read it. We don't engage with it. And we don't allow the words, God's word revealed in Scripture to really penetrate our hearts and lives that will lead to transformation. You want to change life? Get into the Word. You want to change attitude? Get into the Word. You want to change perspective on life? Get into the Word. You want to have a better outlook in your relationships with folks? Get into the Word. Jesus actually has a lot to say about that. Just get into the Word. So as we sing this song, if there's a way that we can be helpful to you, and helping to activate a more robust understanding of God's word revealed in Scripture, or even jumpstart. You say, man, I want to read the, I just don't know where to start. Come talk to me. I have some ideas for you on where to start. I can tell you some of the things that I do. I can share some things that some other folks do, or maybe there's something that we can participate in with one another. But it would be such a blessing if all of us within the family of God would take seriously this call to allow the word of God to be activated in our lives for transformation personally, communally, and even outside of these walls. So as we sing this song, we'll stand up. Let's sing this song, Ancient Words, if we can be helpful to you through prayer. If today is the day you want to say, I really want to receive the word of God, and I want to give my life to Jesus Christ today, you can do that too. Let's stand and let's sing.